Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord we're able to be together again. On yesterday's broadcast, I began a message that I'm just going to take my time with because I think it is so important for us in the days in which we are living, where there's so much deception, there's so much apostasy in the general church world. Beloved, there are whole segments of, quote, nominal Christianity that turned away from the basics and truths of the Bible. They are compromising. They are making themselves socially and culturally relevant. And as a result, they are falling away from the standards of purity, of service, of integrity from the Word of God. We don't set our own standards, beloved. It doesn't matter, as I said on yesterday's broadcast, how sincere we are. We might have a good intent, a good motive, but beloved, and we might even think it's being, quote, loving, but beloved, true love only comes from, is developed by, is centered around the truth. That's the only, when it talks about love never fails, it's the kind of love that not only cares for the individual, where they're at, their feelings, their condition, but brings the truth and relevance of God's Word to bear on that situation, because, beloved, that's the only thing that's going to bring light and life. We are living in a dark, dark world. Darkness upon the face of the earth, gross darkness, the people. And unless the light of the gospel has shined upon an individual heart, they simply can't understand the Bible. They can't understand Christians. The natural man receiveth not the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. How can they? They're dead. You're either dead or alive. Overall, walking around physically alive, but spiritually, unless you've accepted Jesus, you're dead. You can't understand things. And so that's the marvelous transformation that happens when we're born again. We begin to understand things we never did before. And so we can be sincere, but we can be sincerely wrong. And with everything in me, I am of such strong conviction that God's people need to know God's Word, not just the Word, but they have to know, they have to be filled with the Spirit to understand the ways of God, because it's God's Spirit who dwells within us to give us understanding of the things of God. When we are born again, this is where Unveil Christ Ministry stands. When we're born again, there is absolutely no equivocation, the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells within our spirit. That's what it means to be born again. The spirit man is alive. The Holy Spirit is within us, and He will never leave us. But then, as you go through, and I'm not going to take the time, but as you really look, especially in the book of Acts, it talks about another experience. When Jesus, I'll just take this little rabbit hole, that when Jesus rose from the dead, He walked through the walls, He greeted the stunned and delighted apostles, and He said, He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." At that point, they were born again because they had heard the message of repentance, but Jesus had not died. It was necessary for the perfect Lamb of God to die before salvation and redemption could come to mankind. Remember, Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, before He committed His spirit to the Father. It is done. Everything was completed. He did a perfect, total, absolute, wonderful, complete job of the atoning of God's justice and showing the tremendous mercy and love of God. But then he said, don't you go anywhere. You stay in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father comes. He was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of theologians, a lot of denominations say, well, they were just speaking in foreign languages, which is very evident at that particular time. But as you go through the book of Acts, when you see what happened when Peter was sent by the Lord and came to visit Cornelius and his household, when Paul went to the Ephesian believers, he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? I know some translations say when, but unless they were like the Gentiles, where the Holy Spirit came upon them as they were hearing the salvation message. Of course, that's the best way. But there is the empowering of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said to wait, because you're going to receive power. Praise God. And so, beloved, we have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to live a victorious life today. And even though we're looking now at an individual, a godly king by the name of Jehoshaphat, and his story is in 2 Chronicles 17, 18, 19, and 20. On yesterday's broadcast, I read a few verses out of that 17th chapter, which said he was a godly king. He feared God, not only personally, but he sent priests and Levites to go throughout the land to teach the people the word of God. Even when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And the Philistines brought gifts, and the fear of God was upon all the nations round about him, and God tremendously prospered him in every possible way. And then we see in the 18th chapter, I'm not going to take the time to read, you may want to read it at a time convenient for you, but we see there's an alliance between Jehoshaphat and Ahab, who was the idolatrous king of Israel. And remember, Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. And they go against Ramoth-Gilead, and of course, the false prophets of Ahab assure him of victory. And then, of course, Jehoshaphat's not quite convinced. And he says, there are you not yet a prophet of the Lord? And so Micaiah, the prophet, comes and he said, Ahab says, I hate him. He never prophesies any good. And of course, Ahab is killed in battle. And now, at the 19th chapter, let me read just a couple verses. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And so what we see is a very strong rebuke, a stern rebuke from the prophet. And as we would read in the preceding chapters, we would see what terrible implications resulted from his alliance with the evil king Ahab. Of course, they were basically of all of the bloodline, the stock of Israel, but there had been a separation in the reign of Rehoboam, Solomon's son. There was a splitting. Remember, the two tribes stayed, Judah and Jerusalem, and then the rest of the 10 tribes they separated because of the tremendous taxation. He was going to be even harder than Solomon. So they said, oh, what do we have to do with you? And we have to stop and think, this good, godly king who knew the word of the Lord, how could he possibly have anticipated any good outcome from an alliance with the wicked and those who hate the Lord? That was the word of the Lord through the prophet Jehu. Shouldest thou help the ungodly or wicked and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from the Lord. And as I shared on this the opening broadcast in chapter 17, verses 1 through 19, we read of this good king's reign. As we read the comprehensive account of the story of Ahab in 1 Kings 22, verses 1 through 35, we see the story treated from the standpoint of a foolish alliance. That's a parallel passage, in case you care to read that. It's 1 Kings 22, 1 through 35. And this, an alliance which would have brought death from God, brought death had God not intervened in behalf of Jehoshaphat's behalf. If he hadn't undertaken, he could have been killed in battle. And so, what's the point of this, beloved? The Bible gives us certain principles which are written down, and they're established to show us how we can live our lives today in this world as overcomers, because there are a lot of things that appeal to emotions, to sentiment, and it might sound like a good thing, but we had better be sure the blessing of the Lord is upon it, that it's a godly, right thing to do. Because obviously, someone as godly and good as Jehoshaphat got off into error. And that's why discernment, godly discernment, is so important. These principles I'm talking about in the Word of God are established truth that will enlighten us to take certain actions, which, if we do that, will bring great victories. They show us what God would have us to do in order to see His intervention in our lives. God's principles are established not just because He, you know, would put it down. He wants us to follow them. That's the point of making His will known. And unfortunately, too many Christians make alliances with the Ahabs of this world. Many people let the devil run roughshod over them, and they do it in the name of the Lord. And there are many who don't realize that their alliance can make or break them. And even though they may have done things in the name of the Lord, they find no joy in doing those things. They're not happy. There's no spiritual rejoicing. In fact, they feel like they're under wrath, like Jehoshaphat, and they are. Jehu said, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." Beloved, we need to show love, but we need to be mature. We need to understand the dynamics of a situation. When we have to understand that we cannot form an alliance with someone who is not committed to serving God. Do we minister to them? Yes. Are we a good witness? Absolutely. But we cannot fellowship. Light cannot fellowship with darkness. We cannot be in a position of alliance or friendship or marriage. That's why Paul said, you know, you have to marry a believer. Don't think you're going to save them just by that alliance. Same thing with business relationships. Beloved, we need to have relationships that God puts His blessings upon. Well, my time has flown and we hardly have gotten into the subject, but I do hope you'll be able to find time tomorrow to listen to the broadcast on this station. We're heard every day, Monday through Friday at the same time. Or if you choose, if you've got internet, you can go to unveilchrist.org, click on the broadcast, listen anytime at your convenience. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.